I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? I don't know if you sensed it this morning, but I love that song that we ended on. But there's a real sweet spirit in this place today. I can just tell. I can tell that the Lord has something special for us. And I can tell, and it's not me. but I pray every morning, Lord, you know, I stacked the wood. Now you bring the fire. You know, now I pray that you would just come and anoint your word today. Because I know every time his word goes forth, friends, even when you preach his word badly, it can plant seeds and produce fruit. And so every Sunday, I feel like I'm up here preaching at the preacher. You know, every time you got your finger pointed out at somebody else, you've got at least three pointed back at you, right? And I'm here to tell you today that just like I did last week, how important it is that we have the Holy Spirit in our life. That his presence from the very beginning of creation, when the Bible says that he was brooding or fluttering over the waters of creation, which verse I may come back to again, because I think that one is more prophetic than people realize. But the way he moves and he lives in our life. And so it dawned on me a little while back that a lot of people talk about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is. But I just wanted to walk through some of the passages in the Bible that talk about what the Holy Spirit does. I mean, what does he do? What difference does he make in the life of the believer? And one of my favorite stories about the Holy Spirit is an interaction between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. The story happens in John chapter 3. And you can turn there in your Bible if you want, or I'll just read it to you from the screen too. The one on the screen is kind of NIV with a few of my little changes. But it says this in the Bible that, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Judeans. And so he was a ruler of the council of the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we can see that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." And so what an interesting story. First of all, you know, the Pharisees were the teachers of the law. They were the Bible students. The Sadducees were more like the senators in Jerusalem at that time. And so the Pharisees were the one, these people studied the word. They had to, it was like they all had PhDs in the Torah. They had all studied for years and years, and he calls Jesus Rabbi, and we have no inkling in the Bible that Jesus ever studied to get the title Rabbi. So this is kind of more of him just paying honor to Jesus and saying, "I recognize something in you. You might not have had that formal training, but there's something special about you because we see the miracles that you do." And so Jesus replied to him. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again from above." And so there's a couple of plays on words here. One of them, he said, Nicodemus says, "We can see that you are a teacher sent from God." And then Jesus turns around and uses that same phrase and he says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above again." I use two different translations because Jesus uses a word play. And so a lot of that disappears when you read it in English. So does, by the way, a lot of the humor in these stories. And I don't mean humor like ha-ha, but in Jewish literature and parts of the New Testament, even though it's New Testament, they're very Jewish. This whole story is very much like the Talmud, which is the kind of the Jewish version of the New Testament. The Talmud is after the Bible, like during the second century AD. And the way the Jewish wisdom writers would write is it was always kind of a story, or it was an interaction, or it was a debate between two wise rabbis. And, you know, and one would come to the other and with a puzzle, and the other one would out-argue him. And so we get a lot of those kind of Talmud stories in Jesus. Every time the Pharisees come to try to trick him and he outwits him, you remember those stories? And they go away shaking their head or angry at him. Those are very Jewish stories. And so is this one. And there's no secret that a lot of the most famous funny people in America have been Jewish. In Jewish literature and thought, there's a lot of irony. So there's a lot of things that are kind of not intuitive, kind of surprising. Like when Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you've got to lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll find it. That's a very ironic thing to say. It's very backwards, very wise. And so Nicodemus comes to him. He didn't even ask him to give him a parable, but Jesus could tell right away who he was talking to. Just like when two kidders meet each other on the road, you know, you ever met another kidder? You know instantly, you can tease with this guy and he will get it. You know, that guy came on, this guy just first day on the job site, and you can tell automatically, this is a smart aleck. We recognize each other. We have those antennas. You know, I start teasing with somebody immediately when I see that twinkle in their eye. And so when you just read it plainly in English, this is a very serious conversation, but you got to think of it almost like two very wise people coming in contact with each other. And right off the bat, Nicodemus gives him a compliment, and Jesus starts to bug him. He looks back at him and he says, you know, I think I can push on this guy a little bit. And maybe he already knew who he was, but he says, you know, you say that you can see because I came from God because of the miracles, but nobody can see the kingdom of God unless they be born. And then he uses a play on words. The Greek word is anothen, which can either mean that they're born from above, which is a Jewish euphemism for being born from heaven, like Jesus, or born of God. But it can also mean born again. That's where we get the phrase born again. In the 70s, it became very popular because people asked President Jimmy Carter about his Christianity, and he called himself a born-again Christian, and everybody who hadn't been to church fell apart, and like he had invented a new phrase. And it was in the Bible all the time, but it can be, anothen can also be again. So like the band director, it's either above or again, like the band director says, let's take it from the top. Or let's tell the story from the beginning. And so he uses a word on purpose, very smartly, that can mean two different things. And so Nicodemus picks up on the born again thing. And he says back to him, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born. Now here's once again, if you didn't know who Nicodemus was, you might think he's kind of dense. Because everybody in this room knew what Jesus meant. He didn't mean to be literally born again. And so we always play Nicodemus like he's a dummy. He's not a dummy. Later on, he shows up in the Bible. And by the way, you don't get to be a Pharisee by being dumb. That's a lot of study. And you don't get to be one of the rulers in the Sanhedrin without being highly respected by everybody. And the reason he came at night, I don't think it was because he was afraid. He was just being discreet. Because later on, when Jesus is put on trial in the middle of the night, he's the one that stands up against all of the others in the Sanhedrin, including the high priest. And he says, we've got no right to put him on trial without there being a fair trial and hearing the witnesses. That's not a fearful guy. And obviously, he wasn't afraid of what they were going to do to him. He also, the Bible tells us later on, that he and Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a wealthy man, were the ones that went and asked Pontius Pilate if they could take care of the body. So he wasn't afraid of Pontius Pilate either. And they took him to the tomb, and Nicodemus brought a bunch of spices and myrrh and wrapped him up, and he's the one that laid Jesus' body in the grave. Does that sound like someone that's fearful or dumb? He's not. And so I backwards engineer it. I come back to this story, and Nicodemus is playing all dumb, like, oh, what do you mean I'm supposed to be born again? By the way, that was a very common Jewish expression. They would word it like this, that when a Gentile becomes converted to Judaism, they start over like a brand new baby. So Nicodemus knew who he was saying, but Jesus gave him this wise saying, and Nicodemus says, okay, I'll play along, tell me more. So it's like Jesus says, knock, knock, and Nicodemus says, who's there? He said, oh, what do you mean? I'm supposed to be born all over again? And Jesus says, no, very truly I tell you, no one can enter. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And that is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. And of course, he wasn't. But then he goes on to say, and this is a verse we read last week, so I'll just pick up on it again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And so Jesus uses another wordplay. He calls it the wind. He was just talking about the Spirit. But it's the same word, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word is ruach, which means wind or breath or spirit. And in the New Testament, it's pneuma, which is where we get pneumatic or pneumonia. It means wind or breath or spirit. And so Jesus is talking about the Spirit, but then he uses this beautiful metaphor about the wind. I love this story. I'm not going to read it to you in Greek, but you can kind of tell that there's kind of a push back and forth, not out of a fighting spirit, but kind of almost like two wise sages kind of giving each other a hard time in the hopes of saying something profound. And Nicodemus went away, and we don't hear anything about him until he's defending Jesus in court. And so we know that this was a godly man. But friends, listen to the depth of what he said. By the way, that's why the Jewish people would tell parables. People think the parables that Jesus told were to make things easier to understand. It's exactly the opposite. A parable is a riddle. A parable is to try to take a truth and wrap it up tightly in a package so that the student has to dig for it. It's like hiding the Easter eggs deep, so you have to work for it. And then when you find it, it's even more powerful. Are you with me? And so Jesus takes some simple teachings about what it means to be a person that is entered into or sees the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you cannot do that until you are born again or born from above. You have to be born all over again. There's something that's got to be renewed in your life. You cannot see the things of the kingdom of God in your flesh, in your mere humanity. How many know that you are created to be more than just flesh and bones? There's a spiritual part of you, every single one of you. Every single child, every single man and woman, you might not have discovered your spirituality yet, but you are a spiritual being. You are much more than just the highest peak on the food chain. You are a spiritual being. Yes, we're also physical, but there's a spiritual part of us. And so Nicodemus comes and he begins to admire. He recognizes in Jesus that he's a man that is sent from heaven, that he's a man of God. But Jesus is saying, yes, but you too also can experience this kingdom power, this kingdom reality. But you can't do it the way you came. You got to be changed. You got to be turned into something else. And the first thing he says that we need to do is to be born from above. And you can use it either way. Both of them are correct. But later on, even in chapter 3, Jesus talks about the one that comes from heaven is born from above. And so he's over everything on the earth. So really the more common usage rather than born again is born from above. And so just to remind us, just as Jesus came from heaven, he wasn't just a mere man. Every single one of us, we have a higher calling. We have more to us than just to go to work 5 days a week so that we can live for the weekend. There's something more to us. How many can say amen so far? Say amen. There's something more. And so I wonder if you've been born again in this place. How many have been born from above? Have you given your heart to the Lord? Well, you can today. By the time I'm done today, you know, like most Sundays, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you want to be born all over again. But I know it's so important because until we do that, we won't see the things that God wants to do in our life. But in John chapter 1, he tells us this. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. Are you a child of God in this place? Are you a daughter of God? Are you a son of God? It means that you've been born all over again. And he has given you a purpose. You were born with a purpose, friends. You know what? One thing that God does not have is accidental children. You know, I don't know who it is, but I've heard from time to time people will say things carelessly, maybe maliciously. But they'll say things to a child that you were born on accident, that you weren't on purpose, that, you know, we didn't plan on having you. And sometimes people can carry that for the rest of their life, feeling unwanted, feeling unworthy, feeling abandoned. You know, I have six of my kids were adopted. All of my kids are on purpose. You don't adopt kids on accident. But we thought we were done after four, and then little Sam came along, and I looked at Molly, and I said, I didn't even need to pray about it. Not that I don't pray about such things, but I had already been praying about it. And Molly began to notice every time in a staff meeting, his name would come up, because he was a foster child with another family in our church. Every time, I said, so who are we going to pray for? I said, I'll pray for him. And that boy was on my heart since he was one and a half. And then a year and a half later, he comes open for adoption. I said, yep, he's ours. Then a few years later, I'm in Jamaica in a hospital bed because I fell and had an accident. And Molly says, DHS just texted us. They sent me a picture of a little boy named Vernon. And I said, let me see a picture. And she shows me a picture of him. I said, text him back and tell him yes. I said, I didn't even need to pray. I didn't need to ask the Lord. The Lord had laid that boy on my heart long before he was ever there. And fast forward now, it hasn't always been smooth sailing. I don't tell you all of our deep, dark secrets and stories and the traumas we've gone through. But from time to time, both of those boys looked at me about a year ago and said, Dad, if you'd have known it was going to be like this, would you have still adopted us? And I looked back at it without even flinching, and I says, 100 times out of 100, I would have adopted you. I'd do it again if you gave me the choice right now. Because it wasn't an accident, it was by choice. Friends, I want to tell you today that you are a child of God, not by accident, but by choice. And not by your choice, because long before you chose God, He chose you. He chose you. He put His Spirit in you. He put His image in you. You are created in the image of God, and you are special to Him. Every child is special. Every person is special. Every life matters. Anybody say amen? Amen. And His mission cannot be accomplished. How could we think that after having been born from above, been born again, that we could accomplish that mission in our own power? One of the most powerful verses for me in the origin story of Jesus is in the story of Luke, where the angel comes and talks to Mary. There are miraculous songs and things that happen in the Gospel of Luke that don't happen in any of the other ones. And the Holy Spirit is a major theme of the Gospel of Luke and continuing on with the book of Acts, which is which is the sequel. It's the second part of Luke. And when the angel comes to Mary and he says, Mary, you're going to give birth to a child. And she says, how can that be? I haven't been with the man. And he just assures her she doesn't have to be afraid because it's going to be a miracle. But listen how he words the miracle. Said the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born with you will be called the Son of God. Now, people try to make that into some kind of a weird, not a physical interaction, but that the Holy Spirit was going to come on and put a miracle in her. And friends, I'm so convinced that no matter how else you say, well, I was born of the normal way, Pastor Mike, not by a miracle, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit has birthed you. You are a miracle. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. He was overshadow you. The power of the Most High is available to you. But will we make ourselves available to Him? Will we ask Him to come in and be the one that steers the ship? I keep coming back to these metaphors because the Holy Spirit is so perfect for metaphors like wind and breath and the dove. But can I tell you a true story? Been serious enough for a minute. So I have another sailing story, true, but you know that because all my stories are true. We were in Jamaica, I think it was the first time, wasn't it, Molly? Right after we got married, we went to Jamaica for our honeymoon, and I was sitting down there. I can relax for about 5 minutes, and then I get bored, and I got to do something. So Molly can lay out in the sun for hours, but I was laying there watching these people take these little sun cats. You know what a sun cat is? It's just a little, I don't know what, 10 or 10 foot, 12 foot sailboat. It's just like a one or two man little sailboat with a, you know, one sail, and it's you know, you drop the you keel down and you've got the rudder. And I sat there watching these people sail in and out, and I just thought to myself, I can do that. I said, that doesn't look hard at all. What is it? You got a sail, you got the rope, you got the thing. What is it called? The tiller? See, I don't even know what this stuff is called, but I was pretty sure I could do it. And I did. I hopped in. They didn't even need permission. It was all included in the place we were at. And I started sailing out, and the wind was coming this way. And I sailed out, and I went to the left. And that was a mistake because the rocks were on the left. And once you got down past that way, then, you know, you had to sail backwards to get back to the place. And I tried to turn around. Now, I told you the story last year about how I'd been sailing with my father once when I was in high school with a bunch of other people. So I figured, I'm qualified. I remember you can sail into the wind. I could not for the life of me figure out how to do it. And I was struggling. I was pulling on the sail, trying to get it, and I'm fighting the wind the whole time. Just about the time, I know Molly was watching and watching. She had just married me. She didn't realize. She knew I was a knucklehead. She didn't know how much of a knucklehead I was. And just about the time that guy got on his little wave runner and came out to me, and I just said, you know, if I just pull hard enough on this thing, and I just said, and then it went, and it filled up with wind, and I started sailing the wrong direction against the wind to get back to the hotel. The guy just got there, and he said, you need any help? I said, not anymore. Figured it out, man. Just in the nick of time. I just thought, man, I said, how much of my life have I spent struggling trying to do it in my own power? If I could just get my sail figured out, the wind will take care of the rest. That's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. He's saying, you know, okay, the Holy Spirit is not the wind, but they're similar in the fact that you can't see the wind, but you can see its power. I can't see if you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, but I can tell by the direction you're going. I could tell by the decisions you make. I could tell by the fruit of your life. If we're doing it in our own strength, what did Jesus say? Anything that's born of the flesh is flesh. Anything that's born of the Spirit is spirit. So what kind of life do you want to live? Who wants to live a life that's born of the Spirit in this place? Anybody? Am I getting through to anybody today? I told you, I didn't think I had a good word, but I felt like the Holy Spirit had one today. And the second part is being born of the water. Oh, now this is one that people have argued about. So he says, no one can enter the kingdom unless they are born of the water and born of the Spirit. And if you've ever had an argument or a Sunday school class where everybody debated what that means, you're in good company. For 2,000 years, people have been debated. And if you can come up with the theory, that's fine, because either you can take it. So is this two different things? My Sunday school teacher asked, and I said, well, it sounds like he's saying first you're baptized in water and then you're baptized in the Spirit. John the Baptist said that. Said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you in the Spirit. It could mean that. It can also mean, because in Greek it just says, unless you are baptized in water and Spirit. So it's almost like he's saying it like that could be one thing. Like when you're baptized, it's in water, but it's also in the Spirit. So I'll leave it to you to debate it all the way home. Which one is he talking about? There's at least 10 different ways to translate this. But Jesus is kind of using a wordplay on this, and he's using metaphors. But my Sunday school teacher says, no, that's not correct. What it is born of water is like born in the natural way, because when your mother's water breaks, and that's the water, and then born of the Spirit is when you get saved. And if that's true, then why does he say no one can enter the kingdom unless they're born of the water? Isn't everybody born of water? Are you with me so far? And so the debate goes on. I just want to keep it simple today. When he talks about being born of water, I go back to John the Baptist. I still think he's talking about two different baptisms, one that happens when you're dunked and one that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That he's and they don't have to be two separate events, but they're two separate things. And so I already said when a Gentile would become Jewish in Jesus' day, two things. They said it was like being a brand new baby. And that's also kind of what John the Baptist was doing when he baptized people. It was a baptism of repentance. And they would start all over again. They'd become like a brand new baby. It was almost like a ritual version of what you do in a bath. In a bath, you get rid of all of the dirt. And in a baptism, what you're doing is you're getting rid of the sin of your past and you're repenting. It's like you're being washed spiritually clean. In Foursquare, we say it's an outward sign of an inward work of what the Holy Spirit does in us when we give our life to them. So I want to ask you today, have you been born of the water? Have you been born all over again? So baptism is that symbol of that spiritual cleansing that we all need. How many know we need to be cleansed on a regular basis? And so in Titus, one of my favorite verses about what salvation is and how the Holy Spirit plays a role in our regeneration, in our becoming brand new. He says it like this. Would you read it with me? But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Oh man, who could use a little of that? You know, I'm not even just talking about what happened to you one time whenever you got converted the first time. But I think on a regular basis, I still need His washing and rebirth and renewal. I love it. One of my favorite times when the kids were little was bath time. You know, they'd be all dirty and playing outside, and they'd get all scrubbed up and come out in their jammies. And we had a little ritual after bath time. They'd always run and jump up on the couch with me or with Molly. And what do we say? Fresh and clean. In fact, believe it or not, I'm a grown man, and I still say that to Molly every once in a while when I get out of the shower, fresh and clean. But it's wonderful, isn't it, to start all over again? It's wonderful to be washed clean. It's wonderful to have a brand new start. Who could use a brand new start just about now? Well, you're in the right place then. I think one of the most wonderful, powerful things that the Christian faith has to offer people that will never go out of style is that invitation and opportunity to be born over again, to start over. I think people need that in their life. So many people, and there's so many different opportunities for your life to come off the rails, for everything to come to an end, for things to happen in your life that you can't undo, to have failures, to have mistakes, to have broken relationships, to have wounds that no one can heal. And then we come to the Lord, and He is just like that master. The Holy Spirit is the master surgeon. He's the master cleanser. He takes every broken life and He brings, what does He say? Washing and rebirth and renewal. That we can start all over again because of the power of the Spirit in our life. That's what He's saying to Nicodemus. He's saying, Nicodemus, you know a lot about the Word of God, but I want to introduce you something. Do you remember what it's like to be born all over again? He goes, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of God until you're born all over again. And that's something that happens not just up here in your mind. That's something that happens in your spirit. Anybody with me? Being born again is our opportunity to start a new life. And so Romans chapter 6 talks about it as following Jesus in His death and burial and resurrection. You know, we just had Easter. We talk a lot about Christmas, and at Easter we talk a lot about Jesus' death and His resurrection. But we skip the middle part, the burial part. And that's so important. He can't be resurrected again until He's been buried. And so I think it's wonderful. Eventually, Jesus teaches Nicodemus about how to be born again. And Nicodemus is the one that laid Jesus' body in the tomb. And he buried it. But until you're buried, you can't be resurrected. And so in Romans 6, he says, we were therefore, say it with me, would you? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Oh, somebody give the Lord praise. Isn't that amazing? How many are grateful for the new life we have in Him? I'm so grateful for it. You know, I remember when I got baptized, I was the youngest of four. I don't know why the other three took so long. But we got baptized. We had come home from the mission field in Mexico, and we were going to East Hill Church over in Gresham when Jerry Cook was the pastor there. No relation to me. He doesn't have an E on the end. They're Lowland Cooks. We're more Scottish Highland Cooks, right? And I didn't know him at the time, but the assistant pastor at that time was Jerry Sanford. And so some of you are old enough to know Jerry Sanford was the pastor of this church for about 8 or 9 years, and then went to that church, and then went on to Pioneer Sunnyside Foursquare Church, which grew up to be a big church. But at this time, he was the assistant, and on Sunday nights, they had baptisms. I don't remember everything about it. I remember going to a class. I remember there was a bunch of people that got baptized at the same time. Maybe it's why I have the baptismal on the right side, because that's where it was at East Hill. And I went down in the water, and Jerry asked me a few questions, and then I was baptized. I just remember being explained that this isn't about washing your body, but this is about giving your life to Jesus, being forgiven and being born again, of dying to your old self and being raised. I said, dying to my old self. I was 9. I can't remember what big giant sins I had done up and then. Up until that time, my worst experience with drugs was one time I was drinking a Slurpee real fast and right in my head, I got this headache. You ever had that happen? That was like my worst hangover. I can't remember all of the terrible things that I did. I just remember that even as a kid, I remember how awesome it felt to be born all over again, to have a fresh start. And friends, it doesn't matter how old you are. You put your life in the hands of Jesus, His Holy Spirit can wash you clean again, can forgive you, can take away all of those things of the past and let you start over again. Anybody say amen? And so then the last thing he says is this, is that you need to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And whether those are one and the same or they're two different things, Jesus said them both, so we're going to say them both. That we need to be born of the Spirit. We need to be people that have that life breathed into us. And you might just be going through a season where you've just got wrung out. Has that happened to anybody else? Oh man, people say, how do you go through ministry without getting burnt out? And I said, I don't. I've been doing it for 33 years. I have spent many, many years burnt out. And it's amazing what the Holy Spirit can accomplish through a burnout, through somebody that's just been relying on Him. I even told some preachers this morning on the way to church, I need the Holy Spirit today, because a man that Jesus even told His disciples, He said, pray that you don't fall into temptation, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh ever get weak? Well, I've got good news for you today. You know, the Bible says in Genesis that God created Adam out of dirt, out of the mud from the ground, and then He did a miracle with him. It says, and then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. What a miracle. This is a prophetic story, by the way. This isn't just an origin story about how the first person came to be. This is a prophetic story about how God is a God that breathes life into lifeless things. God takes people who have been dead. God takes people who have been through terrible circumstances. God takes people that are burnt out, and He breathes life into them. 1 Corinthians 15 picks up on it, and he says, and so it is written, the first man became a living being, the last Adam, that is Jesus, a life-giving spirit. Who could use a little of that fresh life in them right now, here today? I'm telling you, friends, the things that Jesus gave to us when He gave us His Holy Spirit was life, not just eternal life for someday, not just for after we're done with this life, but eternal life that begins now, that begins right here. And you can receive Him because He takes things that are dead and brings them back to life. So I'm always asking for, Lord, remind me of, is there a video or something like that that talks about resurrection? And this isn't one about Jesus. This is one about a little boy that finds an alien in his backyard and doesn't know what to call him. So he just calls him what? E.T. How many have seen E.T.? It was 1982. It just dawned on me that probably half the audience doesn't even know who E.T. is. How many of you kids have seen E.T.? Okay, a couple of them. They'll be close enough. You don't have to know the plot. Spoiler alert. Can I give a little spoiler? E.T. dies. Sorry, he dies. But it's not permanent. So sooner or later, they find this alien and they do do some experiments on him and he dies. And then little Elliot is so sad. And so I'm not trying to bring you down this morning. Somebody says, you just show these videos to make us cry. Kind of. No, I don't. But just watch this scene for a moment because it talks about new life.
must be dead. Because I don't know how to feel. I can't feel anything anymore. You've gone someplace else now. I'll believe in you all my life. Every day. E.T. I love you.
E.T. phone home. Home, phone home, phone home.
Does this mean they're coming?
Yes. E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home. E.T. phone home.
Shut
up. Phone, phone home.
Quiet.
Phone, phone, phone.
E.T. phone
home. Phone home, E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, E.T. phone home, phone home, phone, phone, area, 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 bed, bed, area.
Elliot, why don't you come with me?
No! No! No!
Sorry.
No!
I didn't remember that Dr. Peter Coyote from all of the great Ken Burns documentaries anyway, but, you know, they asked Steven Spielberg about that scene, and he says, you know, it is kind of curious. For a good Jewish boy, I tell a lot of stories about resurrection. That is, there's a reason, because resurrection is a Jewish story. It's a story about Jesus, that God is a God that brings things back to life that used to be dead. And if his spirit is living in you, even though you be dead, he can bring you back to life. He can bring things back to life that you thought died years ago. He can revive gifts that you thought were gone. He can revive purpose. He can revive vitality. I don't know about you, but I need his Holy Spirit on a regular basis, bringing me back to life, filling me with goodness. It's when our flesh is weak, he's the one that keeps us going. Amen. Something just happened. Did I hit it twice? The Bible says, and again, Jesus said, would you read it with me? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on him. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on him. There's another wordplay, another metaphor. But he breathed on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to breathe on you today, even though I did brush my teeth this morning. But how many could use a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit? How many are right about now? I don't know about you, but I ran out of my own strength years ago. And everything I've accomplished has been because of the Holy Spirit in me, despite everything that I've gone through, just like that song that we sang this morning. You know, can I tell you a true story? This isn't even my most emotional story today, but years ago, true story, but then again, all my stories are true. It was years ago when we were having one of several lawsuits. And yes, I can't tell you the details or my eye twitch will start coming back. But I was driving in the car and I took one of the lawyers to lunch. And lawyers are expensive. You know, that was an expensive lunch. He said, oh, don't worry. I'll pay for it. That means he's going to bill me for it later. And so I take this highfalutin lawyer out to lunch. And we're coming back home in my car going to the little church in Columbia City. And just as we get to go to turn off of Highway 30, my car starts to sputter. And I look down and I realized in all the stress, I forgot to put gas in the car. Where's Molly? I'll look for Molly back. Does that sound surprising to you? I said, well, so I said, ah, don't worry about it. So I turn back in. It starts to sputter. I just start praying. And this guy wasn't a believer, but I just started praying for the car. And it goes down. We get to the stop sign and we take a left and it dies. And we just coast. And I just keep praying. And then we turn and it pulls right into the site, pulls right into to the spot in front of the church. And we park it. I didn't even have to hit the brakes. It just stopped right there. And I look over at him and he's looking at me like I'm E.T. And he says, that has literally never happened to me in my entire life. I said, well, stick around with me. It'll happen to you more often than you think. I mean, all of it. The forgetting, the Holy Spirit kind of keeping my car moving just in the nick of time. Friends, I have been running on Holy Spirit fumes for years. That's my confession today. Years and years ago, my flesh ran out of enough strength to get through it. And I'm here to tell you today that if you've got the Spirit of God in your life, if you are born of the Spirit, He will get you through anything. He will carry you when you don't have the strength, when you don't have the willpower, He'll give you His. When you don't have the forgiveness, when you don't have the determination, ask the Lord and He will fill you up. Anybody say amen today? Say amen. Would you receive it today? Can we just pray together? Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd come and just fill each and every one of your sons and daughters with the Holy Spirit, with power, with strength. Lord, that you would just fill them up. Jesus said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And I want to be born of the Spirit today. I don't want to be in my own power. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd come and fill me up. Come and fill my friends up today. Lord, that whatever it is that you've given us to do, Lord God, that we would just fix our sails upon you and may you carry us through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy today, I made several invitations today. I said, who wants to be filled with the Spirit? Who wants to be born again? Who wants to start all over again? Who needs a new life? If that's you, any or all of the above, you have a wonderful invitation. All you need to do is just open up your heart and invite Him in. It's just as difficult as that. It's with your heart that you believe and your mouth that you confess and are saved. There's even just one person here today that wants to invite Jesus into their life and say, Lord, make me all over again. Give me a brand new start today. While nobody else is looking around, would you just look up at me for a minute? Is there anybody like that today? Don't be embarrassed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We give you all the praise today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, friends, would you stand to your feet if you're able to and grab somebody's hand next to you and let's just pray together as a family, can we? Thank you, Lord. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Wash me clean. Give me a brand new life. Take away all of my sin and write my name in the book of life. And I'll give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today, would you? Just praise Him. So good to see all of you here today. Lord bless you. Have a great day.